101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a nonprofit community service.
This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, ladies and gentlemen, everything has been hectic around here, and that's putting it mildly. We had quite a bit of snow, a lot of snow, in fact, the most snow I've ever seen since I've lived here. Somehow, a female elk was separated from the herd, and we had her as a guest in our backyard for almost a week. And then we had 5 days of some of the most beautiful weather I've ever seen in my life, with clear, crystal blue skies, bright, sunshiny days, nice and warm, Indian spring, I guess you call it. And the trees dutifully began to start to leaf and bud. And there's going to be a freeze, I know it, and if there is, that means no fruit this year. We had massive computer failures, and now the office looks like, as Connie puts it — Connie's my secretary, for those of you who may just be new listeners — a computer graveyard. Parts and computer cards and screws and screwdrivers and you name it. Cords and extension cords and soldering irons. Everything scattered everywhere. As we try to put everything back together and make it work without expending any or much money, because we don't have any. It's as simple as that. Everything we do is in service to this country, and everything that we bring in goes right back into it. And so there are no Swiss bank accounts. There are no kitties full of money. In fact, right now, in the trust account, there's $88. So we're up against the wall. Also, I had a motion I had to prepare in my case against the IRS, which had to be filed in court in Phoenix last Friday. And so that garnered all of my attention for several days. And what else? Oh, yes, the little gizmo here in the studio that enables us to take phone calls from the listening audience went kaput in a big puff of smoke and a terrible smell. It died. And what I've got rigged up here is a speakerphone. And Connie, if you can figure out some way to take that, take it on the line in my workshop, please, because I'm not ready to take calls yet. So if you're calling to get on the air, forget it. I will be opening the phones for the remainder of the 2 hours, but not just yet. Got a few other things that I must talk about here. So anyway, the gizmo that takes the phone calls died. Went up in a puff of smoke and a terrible smell of burning plastic and electrical wires. And, well, you know how that is. I'm sure you've all had some experience like that in your own home. And so for quite some time, we have been unable to take calls. Our network technical expert was supposed to be providing us with one. And the only time we really needed expert technical help It doesn't seem to be forthcoming. So I don't know what to say about that. Also, the future of the Worldwide Freedom Network is in question, although 101.1 FM Eager will remain viable. And the Hour of the Time will, by hook or crook, remain on satellite. I'm not sure if the network is going to survive. We put it together and made the cost of broadcasting on satellite and across the nation on our over 700 low-power FM affiliates lower than any price in the industry. In fact, so low it's laughable. And people said, you can't survive that way. And we knew they were wrong. If we could garner enough broadcasters to take up the airtime, it would pay for itself. And that's what we wanted it to do. And that's all we wanted it to do in the tradition of service to the nation. We weren't trying to make any money. And until that could transpire, the money has been coming from where it always comes, from me or from the trust. And the broadcasters have failed to materialize, and therefore, at the end of this month, the network may disappear and go the way all of those things go that don't get support from people who are always screaming for this kind of thing, and when it comes along, who never support it. We have received an awful lot of money for extra broadcasting programming for the network, which we're going to provide up until the time the network goes down, if it goes down. We may be able to save it, but I can't promise you that. And whatever is left over, if there is any left over, will be returned to those who donated it. So that's where we stand on the Worldwide Freedom Network. It was a noble effort and still may pan out. However, I've got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there comes a time when you, the American people, the listening audience, the so-called patriots and people who care, the great silent majority, the people who everyone seems for some reason or other to think matter the most in this country, have to stop relying upon people like me to take the food off of our table and do without and to sacrifice on your behalf, and you have to start doing something. I don't care what it is. Scratch your nose. Anything other than what you're doing, which is, by and large, for the most part, nothing. Relying upon me and Jackie Petru and Michael Cottingham and Chris Gerner and Gary Bourgeois and your elected officials to take care of you. You see, there comes a day when you must understand that your inaction, your inability to participate, your ignorance and apathy are exactly why we're in the position that we are in today. If you really want to know what's wrong with this country, ladies and gentlemen, go into your bathroom right now, this moment. Look in the mirror, and you will see the villain staring you in the face. And as angry as that may make you, it is the truth. It is the truth. And don't be surprised if that image bleats at you. Most people, even those who claim that they are knowledgeable and understand what's happening and that they care and that they are American patriots and that they are the backbone of the nation, really aren't. Really aren't. It's 99% talk. The rest is pure bullshit, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Well, get ready, folks. We've already received one call, and I've placed that caller on hold. We'll be taking calls for the rest of these 2 hours, and we can talk about anything that you wish. I don't care what it is. But I'd like to hear some people talking about what they intend to do to help, if anything. If you don't want to talk about that, we can talk about other things. It doesn't matter. The number is 520-333-4578. When I say it doesn't matter, I don't really mean that. I mean, it doesn't matter for these 2 hours, but it certainly does matter. You better understand that. 520-333-4578 is the number. And we haven't taken calls for quite some time, so should be an interesting 2 hours. A lot of things are happening. And some of you may know about those things. United States Senator has introduced a motion to the Senate Judicial Committee to institute impeachment proceedings against William Jefferson Clinton, claiming that he has jeopardized the national security in his effort to get reelected. And indeed, he may have. Well, I thought somebody was on the phone, but I guess they're not. Sounds like Connie is on the phone. But whoever's on the phone, is anybody on the phone, Connie?
Yes.
Hello?
Okay.
Is this for the show?
Okay.
Who was that? Connie?
Paul Story.
Paul Story. Okay. Is he still on?
No.
Okay. Don't answer the phone during the broadcast, please. Okay, the number is 520-333-4578. The phones are open. And I don't know how well this is going to work. I have a speaker phone set up here. So I guess we'll find out whether it's going to work, and if it does, how well it's going to work. So here's our first caller. We're going to find out right now. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello. Who's this?
Paul Story.
Hello, Paul. What happened? I had you on hold.
I didn't call to talk to you. I called to talk to Connie.
Don't call to talk to Connie when I'm on the air and I'm going to take calls.
Oh, well, I didn't think that you would be there, so I was talking to Connie, but I heard what you had to say. And, I'm going to say this. I looked in the mirror a long time ago, and I'm not willing to allow this to go like that. I'm going to do 110% every single day, every single week, 52 weeks a year. Now, I have the ideas. That's all I have is ideas. But I am not going to sit by and allow you and all the little people like myself to take all this weight. We're going to make it work. When things can work, it's only because we made it work. You can't sit back like socialists and let everybody else do the towing. I'm going to continue to do it. In fact, I'm going to double up on what I'm doing. And I'm going to do even more than that. And when you're willing to talk to me on the side like we usually do, we will discuss that. But I am not willing to allow the one truth be gone from radio. It can't. Shortwave has fallen apart. I've watched the Patriots just falling away because you're not there. And I said, hey, wait a minute, this can't happen. I was the weak link, and now I end up finding myself being the leader because I looked in the mirror, and I saw what the truth was, and I'm not allowing myself to stop for a second. I'm not going to allow it to happen. I'm not going to be responsible for what happens.
Well, we're all going to be responsible for what happens, Paul.
When it happens, it's not going to be my fault. And I'm going to do 110% to make sure it doesn't happen.
Well, good for you.
It's the last voice that we have.
Good for you. Well, don't get me wrong. I wasn't trying to say that there's nobody out there doing anything, because there are. But as it has always been throughout the history of the world, and even the history of this country, it's always a very, very small percentage. For instance, during the birth of this nation, only about 3% of the American colonists participated in the revolution that fought the British and liberated us from King George and created this nation. The rest were either for King George, or didn't care, or didn't want to get involved or something. They had their own agenda. And that's a historical fact. It's the truth. It's always been that way. Throughout the history of the world, a small minority of people are the ones who are the doers, who make the change, who do the good things, who do the bad things. And the rest are just flotsam and jetsam on the tides of time. And they're the ones who end up beside the road in the ditch, dead or bleeding, or in the long lines of refugees, or whatever. But they just don't participate. And if they did participate, this could be a great, wonderful world.
Yeah. You know, Bill, I remember I talked to you one time about an article that was in a paper that I had spoken to some patriots. And the thing that I had told them is, during the Boston Tea Party time, there was three people who were very key people. One was a boy who watched the door as they met secretly at night in the attics. The second was a man who hung the lanterns. And the third was Paul Revere, who took the ride. I'm not looking for people who are willing to watch a door or only going to hang a lantern. I'm looking for people who want to take the ride. And I'm taking the ride. And I'm being ridiculed, and I'm being humiliated. But you want to know something? I looked in the mirror. And those people out in the streets can't change what I look at in the mirror. You brought me the truth. You made me grow up. You know me, Bill. You made me grow up. And I have lived in my room for 4 years now to get education that no one was willing to give me the truth. And now I found the truth. And to abandon the truth is to abandon your family, everything that you believe in, your country, and every single person who ever shed a drop of blood for this country. And I'm not willing to stop. I lost all my friends in Vietnam. A waste, a major waste. And now's my time to fight back for every drop of blood that was shed for this country. And if the people don't wake up fast, it's going to be their blood that's going to shed before socialism takes over. And I'm not willing to let it die. I'm not willing to let it die.
Well, good for you. I think there's enough people in this country that the final outcome is going to take a long time to resolve, but I think that it will be in the favor of liberty.
It's just time for Americans to start standing up and counted for as Americans.
Oh, but Paul, that's not human nature. Human nature is to find the easy way. It's to let somebody else do it. It's to not take responsibility. It's to look for somebody else to take care of you and take care of your problems. And that's why socialism is so attractive to the majority of the sheeple, because it promises them that it will take care of them. Never mind it's a lie, and any study of socialism throughout history will quickly demonstrate that. But it's attractive to these people who don't think and who are always looking for the easy way, who always want the party, who want less working hours. They're the same people who need a job real bad. They've got to have a job, man. They can't live without a job. They go apply for a job. The person gives them a job. Then they spend the next year castigating and talking bad about that person and about the company that hired them. But every payday, they take that check. And they spend more time trying to get out of doing work, and more work escaping from work, and more time flapping their jaw about how bad their boss is, than they would if they just tried to be happy and do the work and do it well and be thankful that someone did employ them and give them a chance. These are the same petty-minded people who are always gossiping about their neighbor, always trying, looking for a way to hurt somebody. And they're, you know, by and large, in the pattern of things throughout history, they're useless people.
Yeah. Well, you and I go back quite a ways now. You remember when I was a wreck. You remember when I was a dumpy kid who was trying to learn something. But actually, I was a man trying to learn something. And I was the weakest one of all these so-called patriots out here. But you know what, how I passed them by, Bill? You know how I passed them by, really?
How's that?
I was like the turtle and the hare. I kept crawling while they were rushing and they were doing their gossip and passing their patriotic crap around. I kept crawling and staying in my room and kept learning a little bit more, and all of a sudden, all those hares got tired out, burned out, and now they're on the wayside. And guess what? I'm still going. And you know what I'm doing. And I'm going to double what I'm doing, and I am not going to stop. I am not going to stop because we don't have the time.
Well, that's right. In his State of the Union address, President Clinton outlined the time schedule. He said, We have 1,000 days.
We have 1,000 days. And that's counting way down now.
Yeah.
That's down. We're probably about 900 now, right?
Well, yeah, it's over 900, but it's going down. That's how much time we have left until the socialists have their New World Order cemented. And he said it. We have to watch
the... I'm not on the air yet.
Well, you should be.
I've already done more than many of those affiliates have already done.
You've got your transmitter, don't you?
I do have my transmitter, yeah. But I'm doing my antenna tonight.
Good.
But I'm not going to give up because I understand. See, when you lose your friends, all of them, every one of them are gone. I was saved by an operation. I was in the hospital. I was 4F, but I still went in just before it was legal time. I understand what the death is worth. And when I look into the eyes, when I look into my high school book and I see those faces, I remember those people. They thought they were dying for something. And we're sitting on our butts, willing to let everybody else just do the job. I'm not going to do that. It is time to take action. It's now or forget it. There is no other time. It's now. And you either get involved. See, there is so many people who listen to you that could have done what I've done. Could have picked up the phone and got to know Bill Cooper. Got to understand. You remember talking to me while I sat in the yard in a bag of peat moss, teaching me for hours. These people don't realize this.
Yes, I remember.
And I remember being very kind with you, and you'd even hang up on me. Bill Cooper doesn't play favors, people. He hung up on me. And I gave everything that I had to give to this network. And I am not going to allow it to happen. And I don't care if I have to put my house on the line. I am going to make sure this works. And if you people are so stupid that you would sit there and allow this to happen, then you deserve everything that you are going to get. Every bit of it. Everything is worth it.
Boy, you got a little excited there, Paul.
I'm always excited. I'm on edge.
I know, and you know, it's time to get excited. It really is. We're down to the wire. Their goal is the year 2000, and Clinton said it in symbolic language, and if you understand the mysteries, you understand exactly what he said. Watch the sunset and prepare our children for the new dawn.
That's exactly and, it.
Yeah.
And don't you be, don't allow your mind to be persuaded by their words. When he talks about a bridge, he's not talking about something wonderful. He's talking about their children, not our children. He said our children. He's not saying your children.
Yeah, they don't want us on this earth anymore.
See, there is no need for us. We are a burden to these people. And we are giving them everything that they need. Every time I turn around and I see one militiaman on the news talking crap. Whenever I see...
Yeah, but Paul, those aren't militiamen. And most of those organizations are not militias. They're not formed under the law. Some of them are whacked out, way out, weird people.
That's
And it's the truth. And the reason.
Station, Bill, just watch the comedy station.
Yeah.
You'll hear them all the time laughing at us. They just did it with the Patriot, the woman that you were talking to a couple of weeks ago. They put her on TV.
Oh, the Patriot matchmaker.
Yes. They made a mockery of us. It was the poor militiamen who can't get girls. And they had people standing up to the nerds. Standing up. They obviously went to a gun show. And they had two nerds. They were not militia. I knew from looking at them. And they were laughing. They said, well, I love America. And they would have canned laughter underneath. They're playing with your mind. Why, Bill, do you think I asked for that mind control? We are under mind control.
You mean the mind control?
Hearing it on
You mean the mind control?
On the comedy station?
Paul, slow down. You mean the mind control series?
Yeah.
You didn't ask for mind control. You asked for that rerun, which we gave you.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Well, Paul, you have to understand, they control the networks. They control the print media. Socialism is in control of this country. The Marxists are in control. They understand the value of propaganda. Never mind the fact that most of everything that drips out or dribbles out of their mouth is a lie. The fact is that most people in America don't know that. And they don't know enough or care enough to check out what they hear to see if it's true. The New York Times called me a white supremacist. The Los Angeles Times called me a white supremacist. Jesse Jackson on ABC and CNN both called me a white supremacist. Now, they do this because they know that the vast amount of people out there don't know me, aren't going to take time to know me, and aren't going to question what these people say. I couldn't be a white supremacist if I wanted to. I'm part Native American. My wife is 100% Chinese. My children, as my wife says, they're all mixed up.
But see, a lot of people are just looking through a glass darkly when they even talking about Bill Cooper. I just listen to people so much talking like they know Bill Cooper. I just, whoa. You don't know what you're talking about. He's not even the same guy when I talk to him on the phone as he is on the air. He's not the same guy. People don't understand that they're looking through a glass darkly, and they are absolutely asleep. When I talk to Patriots, I wonder what the hell is going on in their minds, because they have got a weapon by their side, and that has become their little god. They're not really Patriots.
That's right.
They are hurting America, not helping America. You know who is helping America? Get rid of your damn Budweiser and cough up $10 a week and get the job done. That's what I did. And I'm going to give up. I don't give a damn what I have to give up. I'll give it all up because there's only one America. And I lost my friends, and they can't be replaced. And I have nothing more to say to you except that I love you, and you made me grow up. And it's worth everything that I've got.
Well, thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
And thank you for calling.
We're not done yet. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Well, let's hope we're not done yet, folks. And we're not. Not at all. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper. I'm Jackie from Mentor, Ohio.
Hi.
I'm making $20 a week.
Well, thank you. That's wonderful.
And I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
I'm in a social science group that's doing a huge report on President Kennedy as an assassination. And I wanted to know how Dealey Plaza is laid out, like in the Temple of the Sun.
You mean Dealey Plaza?
Yeah.
You want to know how it's laid out as a Temple of the Sun?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, I know we have an awful lot of new listeners to this broadcast, and they're probably not going to understand any of this, but I'll try to put it in a way that makes it understandable. The power behind socialism and communism is a religion called humanism. Humanism is nothing more than the ancient wisdom religion of Babylon. It is the old ancient mystery school that has survived throughout the thousands of years. Some people call it Gnosticism. It is called the wisdom of the flame. It is called the religion of the flame. It's called those who practice it are called the philosophers of fire. What they believe in a nutshell is that man was held prisoner. And this is a metaphor, folks. Don't take it literally. Because they don't believe in God, and they don't believe in the devil, they don't believe in Satan, they don't believe in Lucifer. They believe that man is God. And what they believe is that through this metaphor, that man was held prisoner in the Garden of Eden, by an unjust, vindictive, terrible God. And he was set free by Lucifer through his agent Satan with the gift of intellect. And remember, the admonition was, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if you do, ye shall surely die. And the promise of Satan was, you know, God lied to you. He's keeping you from your promise. He doesn't want you to know that you can be just like him. So go ahead and eat, you know. And he seduced Eve to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and she seduced Adam to do the same. And so by thus doing, they became, according to the mystery religion, as gods. And Satan's promise was that God lied to you, you shall not surely die, but shall be as gods. And so, you know, that's the promise. The symbolism of this religion is the light. Remember, we talked about the new religion for the New World Order is going to be the religion of the great light, and we documented that, and we gave you the sources and all of that kind of stuff. Well, the great light is symbolized by the sun. And the light represents intellect, the gift of fire to mankind from Prometheus, who represents Satan, and the fire represents the eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And this is all laid out in Dealey Plaza in the symbolism of the mystery religion. It has the four quarters of the round temple of the sun, like Stonehenge. It's all there. If you go there, you'll see it. The actual roadways are laid out in a pyramid style, and it's in a trinity. There are three roads. There are three pyramids. There are three underpasses going under the railroad overpass, which where it cuts off the top of the main pyramid made by all of these others, signifies the capstone missing, which will be in place when the New World Order is created. And you see this in the symbology of the New Age movement, where you see a man standing on top of the flat, truncated portion of the pyramid or the temple of the sun, and man is the capstone. It's man is God. And tomorrow, I'll go into that a little more deeply. In fact, I'll read to you right from their own writings. But anyway, that's Dealey Plaza. And the reason they had to take the little jog to get over on Elm Street is Elm represented the place outside or in each village in the old times when they had no communications, where notices or messages were left for travelers and for the people to read. So the message was delivered on Elm Street, in a grove, in a temple of the sun, and literally destroyed the will, the political will of the American people. President Kennedy represented the sacrificed king. And, you know, we could go on and on and on, but we did the Mystery Babylon series, which is, I think, 41 tapes plus the Luxor video.
Mr. Cooper?
Yes. Oh, good. So,
a couple weeks ago, I brought your Zapruder tape in, and I freaked my whole entire class out in the teacher room, because I showed him where the guy was pointing a gun and shooting back at him, and he said it was a shoe, but it was right in front of his face.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you did that. They couldn't refute it then, could they?
Yeah, I know. And he's like saying, no, it didn't happen that way. There's never been a serious effect that way.
Well, when you can see it right in front of your nose, it sort of takes all of the argument away.
Yeah.
How old are you?
15.
You're 15?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm not gonna steal Wolfman Jack's line, but he would have said, "I'm only 14. You're too old for me."
We'll be sending the $20 out this Friday. Okay. Every other Friday.
Great. That's wonderful. And if the network goes off, we'll be sending it right back to you. We won't keep donations if they're not going to be used for the intention that they were donated for.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, bye.
And it's so nice to hear someone who's 15 years old who knows more than most of the people walking around in their sleep ever thought they knew in their whole life. Isn't that amazing? Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, hello, Bill. This is Eric from Minnesota.
Hello.
I've got different topics to talk about. First one is about foreign troops in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
We have Norwegian troops training in Minnesota because they don't have a cold weather environment in Norway to train in.
You know what's really funny is all of those immigrants who left Norway to get away from the freezing cold and come to the New World and have a better chance, and where did they go?
Well, Minnesota. Oh, Minnesota's Scandinavian.
I know. They went right back to the same cold climate. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, the article was in the St. Paul Pioneer Press, which is the local newspaper here, on February 24th. And it says, Major General Eugene Andriotti, Adjutant General with the Minnesota National Guard, greeted each of the 105 Norwegian Home Guard troops who landed at a military airstrip near Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport on Sunday. They were headed for Camp Ripley near Brainerd, Minnesota. That's like in the northern part of the state. For a week of winter training as part of the 24th year of a military exchange program between Norway and the United States. A part of the training program will include cross-country skiing. And it's got this picture of the general shaking hands with one of the Norwegian soldiers. And I'm like, well, this makes sense. If they're going to have Norwegian troops, like, hypothetically occupying part of Minnesota, then they could, you know, we have people who speak Norwegian here. So they would have maybe an easier time communicating with the population.
Sure.
And I know it's a small number of troops. It's less than a company of infantry, but you know, it's a precedent, maybe. And they arrived, according to the photograph, on the U.S. Air Force C-141 aircraft. So we had foreign troops flying here in a U.S. plane, which I guess, you know, maybe they don't have enough transport there either.
Well, it's all part of all of these foreign military personnel coming together with our military personnel and getting used to operating together, because that's what the future is going to be if the New World Order becomes a reality. There will be no nation states, and there will be no military except the military of the United Nations, who will be called peacekeepers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Never mind, their main function will be to wipe out anybody who threatens their New World Order.
Yeah, bomb them, you know, attack them, bring in, and the whole thing about bringing foreign troops is just so good, you know. Well, who cares? I'll shoot these Americans. It's no big deal. You know?
Yeah, well, that's true.
The other thing I had was about April 19th. I've got different stuff, different topics to talk about real quickly. There's a book called Okinawa 1945 by Ian Gao. And on page 203 of that book, discussing the U.S. invasion of Okinawa, it discusses flame-throwing tanks.
Yes.
55 flame-throwing tanks arrived at Okinawa on April 7th, 1945, and entered the fighting the following day. However, the Americans used only the machine guns at that time and did not use their flamethrowers until the major advance against the Japanese on April 19th.
Yes.
These proved horrifyingly effective at burning out safe positions, and the only major impediment was mud when the weather worsened. So I thought it was very interesting that they brought 55 flamethrowing tanks used against the Japanese but did not use the flamethrowers until April 19th. And this isn't just, you know, a book, military history of the Battle of Okinawa.
Uh-huh.
But I thought, you know, April 19th again with a flame-throwing tank. And I just thought that was very strange. And I've got to send you a copy of it.
They also had on those tanks in Waco the flag of the Cross of St. Andrew.
Oh, yeah. Which the, is a horizontal type cross, correct? With a, it was a white field with a red cross.
Red cross, like an X.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Yes, that's the Cross of St. Andrew. And nobody could figure out why they flew it, except me and a few other people who study the symbolism of the mystery religion. But
well, because of St. Andrew, like the Andrew's cross is on the Scottish flag. Is that one of the reasons, or?
Well, that's one of the reasons, but that's not the main reason.
Oh, what's the main reason?
Well, I'm not going to talk about that tonight, but
we will
talk about it. Also, the movie Waco: The Rules of Engagement opened in San Francisco and it played in Santa Barbara, California, and all of the liberals and socialists who wanted to go see it to prove that all of us who were there, who witnessed the murder of those people, were lying, you know, lying white supremacists, racists, terrorists, and all that kind of stuff, like they always do. And they were absolutely stunned to find out that the movie proves beyond any shadow of a doubt, with the government's own films and evidence and testimony, that we were right all along. Those people were murdered intentionally. In fact, they left only one entrance open when they set fire to the buildings so that the Branch Davidians would be forced to use that exit only. And as the only ones who tried to escape came out that entrance, they shot them down with machine guns.
Yeah,
and the FBI claims they never fired a shot. You lying, scum-sucking, puke-faced socialist pigs. You're traitors, you're murderers, And we're not going to let you forget it ever. Everybody in this nation needs to see that movie. And it was made by a liberal film crew in an effort to find out once and for all what really happened, and what they found out absolutely blew them away.
Mm-hmm. Well, has there been any effort to hinder their investigation or threaten them from what you understand, or is there any information on that?
No, but you don't see that movie in all the theaters, do you?
No, nor
are you likely to.
No.
We might be lucky and get a few copies on videotape. I'm trying to, I'll have to, just in case it doesn't gel, I better not say anything about it. But
okay. Concerning videotapes, I don't know if you can either talk about this even, but you mentioned about there being a videotape of a missile striking the TWA plane. Has anybody sent that in to you yet?
No, nobody has. But I saw that the night of the incident. I was sitting there watching CNN, and they showed this videotape that showed just like a 4th of July rocket going up from the, it was all black, you know, and what you saw is this lights of this airplane in the sky, and you saw this rocket go up and blow the plane out of the sky. It was as clear as a bell. I wasn't taping it. I had no idea that this crash was going to be, I thought it was just a regular airplane crash, but we never know what's going to happen.
Well, that's like the whole Atlanta Park bombing.
Thousands of people saw that all across the country and have reported it. It was shown on CNN exactly twice that same night within a few minutes of each other and has never been seen or heard of again.
Mm-hmm. And now they'll deny it, or they'll say it was a hoax or something similar if it comes out. Or they'll do something and say, well, you know, this wasn't this, or this was a, you know, some trick of the film.
Well, they're not saying anything. No, they're not saying that it exists or doesn't exist or anything, but they can't deny that it was shown on CNN because everybody who was watching saw it.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I had was, I don't know if you remember, like about maybe a year or 2 years ago, Soldier Fortune did a profile. I mean, Soldier Fortune's not with America, not pro-Americans, pro-New World Order, but Soldier Fortune did a profile about the, quote, BATF Air Force, unquote. Now,
yeah.
BATF was acquiring these OV-10 Bronco counterinsurgency aircraft. I had read a thing in a book called Killer Spy by Peter Moss. It's about Aldrich Ames and the whole thing about him and the CIA. But there was an interesting point. They were thinking of trailing him when they were following him around in the early 90s. And there's a quote from the book that said, from all over the country, reconnaissance aircraft, the FBI had over 100 of them, were being flown in. A special exemption had been granted by the Federal Aviation Administration so that these planes and helicopters could fly at night over urban areas without lights if need be.
They do it all the time.
Yeah, and so, I'll speak of the page number for that in the book. It's page 155, I believe. And what was interesting was, it talks, you know, right there in this book, which is published in 1995, talks about, you know, FBI having this huge air fleet, you know, 100 aircraft. I mean, maybe they're light reconnaissance planes, they can't carry weapons, but still, to have that capability to get approval from the FAA to fly without lights, you know, all over the countryside, supposedly just to track this one man.
Yeah,
I thought that was interesting.
It's insanity is what it is. It's extremely dangerous, and in tracking that one man, they could have killed hundreds and maybe even thousands if something had gone wrong.
Yeah, the proverbial crash into a school bus full of children thing.
But all the rules have gone out the window. I mean, it's routine that helicopters, military aircraft, government aircraft, and law enforcement aircraft fly all over this country with no lights at night, at rooftop level, just scaring the living daylights out of everybody. And, it's serious.
And it's like you comment, you know, how are you going to know when it's going to be the real thing, you know, if everything is true about the black helicopters being used, the black helicopters,
That's what I can't figure out.
Yeah.
Anytime I hear a clamor on my roof and I walk outside and there's a helicopter hovering with just its wheels a couple of feet off the top of my roof, and a guy with a machine gun pointing out the door, that's time right then. I'm going to shoot the sucker.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot him right then and there. I don't care who likes it. I don't care who doesn't like it. They have no business doing that. That is terrorism.
Yeah, and the whole thing is they could conceivably, I don't want to sound morbid, bodies and then burn the house to the ground and seal off the thing and say, oh, you know, there was a crash or there was some kind of difficulty here and there isn't anything to it. You know, and the bodies were burned beyond, I'm not trying to be morbid, but the bodies were burned beyond recognition. They could do that, like, to these people
sure
in rural areas.
Sure they could do it.
You know, and no one would think anything. Oh, yeah, there must have been a crash or some kind of mechanical problem.
Well, you know, that's not even the point. This is the United States of America. Mm-hmm. We're not at war in this country. In World War II, in the Vietnam War, in the Korean War, they didn't do these kind of military exercises in this country. They did not terrorize the civilians in this country. They did not
joint training
exercises in cities and fly at rooftop level. I mean, there's been people who have suffered heart attacks and really just been scared beyond belief when all of a sudden 10, 12 helicopters come flying down their street at rooftop level with machine guns sticking out the doors and firing blanks and setting off dummy explosions for these urban guerrilla warfare training exercises. Number one, it desensitizes the public.
Yeah.
Number two, they're getting training for when they finally have to come after those of us who will stand and fight in defense of freedom and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, as we have sworn to do.
Well, I followed up on checking out some of your information about that, like the Chicago Sun-Times articles about the attacks on Lamont and Des Plaines, where they said, oh, yes, we had these attacks, and the local police knew, but the local police were told not to tell anybody, and everybody was calling up frantic. And you discussed both those articles in the Chicago Sun-Times, I think it was June of 95.
Yeah, it's happened all across this country in most of the major cities and some small cities.
Governor Jim Inger of Illinois, when that happened, he blasted him about it, and he didn't want to comment on it.
It's not only a big deal, it's against the law. It's blatant, flagrantly against the law for them to do these things.
But the thing about that is, a lot of these laws, they're like, not even bothering to enforce them. You know, it's on the books, but we're not going to enforce this. We're not going to enforce that.
No, of course not.
Yeah, we're not going to follow it up. Or, like you said, some of these groups may be part of the whole diplomatic immunity thing under that executive order.
Exactly. Try and find out who these units belong to, and you'll come up against a stone wall.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I have no compunctions about calling the Pentagon or the White House or anybody else, and I'll track a lead down until it's just dead, and you cannot find out who these people are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have any problem with you talking about calling the Pentagon. I was calling about the whole Bosnia mess, and I talked to this woman, and she wanted to know who I was, if I was a reporter, on and on and on, and I'm like, no, I'm just a private citizen. I want some information. And about Bosnia, I said, well, do you have any estimates, you know, for the casualty figures? Oh, no, we have no estimates like that. Do you have any estimates about how long we're going to be there? Oh, no, we're going to be there the 1 year, and don't worry about it.
Baloney.
Yeah.
Read the agreement.
Yeah, it's 5 years.
It's 5 years. The moment Clinton opened his mouth and says we're only sending troops for 1 year, he lied. In the agreement, it says 5 years. And it says after that five-year period, then we're still going to have some people there as a part of the long-range peacekeeping force. I mean, it's all there.
Yeah, it could be there forever, like in Korea.
Yeah, read the date and agreement. I mean, anybody can get it, anybody can read it, but they won't.
Yeah, you can get it from the...
But they knew that if they told the American people the truth, they would have said, no, you're not sending our kids over there. So they told them, oh, no, it's only for 1 year. They lied, as they always lie. They are chronic, perpetual liars. Bill Clinton is probably the greatest liar who's ever lived upon the face of this earth, bar none.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to admit, though, I kind of have this, I don't know how to describe it, but a grudging respect. I mean, I don't know how he has the audacity to go up there every day, day after day, about all, but even petty subjects, and just lie and lie and lie.
Because he's a true sociopath. He has no conscience. He has no sense of right and wrong. The ends justify the means. The man has no morals, no ethics. His law is subjective. If it feels good, do it. And I'll bet you he does it, whatever feels good, anytime he wants.
And the other thing is, he probably knows, or has, well, his handlers or whoever, you know, are telling you, you're doing a good job, don't worry about it, we'll cover your back. And
well, you got that right, because anybody who thinks that Bill Clinton is really running things is not playing with a full deck of cards. You got about 14 bricks short of a wall there.
Mm-hmm.
No, he owes his allegiance, and he takes his orders from the people who put him in office. As simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was wondering about the whole thing about his injury. You know, if in fact, you know, it it was, it sounds crazy. I don't have any basis for it, but, you know, what if he, you know, this could be like a sympathy thing for him, you know, he had sympathy from the public saying, oh, he's been injured, this and that.
No, he was really injured.
Okay. I wasn't sure about that. And the other funny thing I thought was...
Now, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
When you get into things involving other people, you can't make people stand in front of a camera and tell lies like that. Navy doctors aren't going to lie.
Okay.
I can assure you of that. And that's why I know the United States Navy did not shoot down TWA 800. We know a missile down that plane. We can prove it. There's no doubt about that. But all this conjecture about whether the Navy did it accidentally is pure crap. There's no way the Navy could shoot down any plane without hundreds of naval personnel knowing about it the instant that it happened.
Yeah, because they would have known the missile would have been fired.
And they would have told their family and their friends, and they would have told news reporters, because they're people just like you and me, and they would not stand for that kind of deception.
Mm-hmm.
The only people who can hold deceptions like that are when it's known by just a few people at the very highest levels, and they're all working toward the same goal. Then you can keep a secret pretty good.
Okay. I'm just going to talk about it for a second. Okay, if the Navy didn't do it, now, it is conceivable, though, that the Navy does know a missile downed the plane.
There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
The Navy was out there looking for whoever was going to shoot. They had prior knowledge. That's why those, and you see, we checked this out with the Coast Guard and with the Navy, because what they were doing out there were not scheduled exercises like they said. We asked for the schedules, and there was no such exercise on those schedules at all. So what they were doing out there was spur of the moment, because they knew something was going to happen. They probably didn't know exactly what,
yeah.
And they were looking for the culprits. And
so they were looking for a submarine.
They were specifically looking for a submarine. I can tell you that with no doubt whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
They were dropping sonar buoys. They had the... P-3 Orion was up there. They had the Seahawk helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all anti-submarine warfare stuff. And,
yeah.
And they were all called out on an alert to do this stuff. It was not a regularly scheduled exercise. That much that they told the press and the public was a lie.
Mm-hmm. So Salinger is like, your opinion,
Salinger's a screaming socialist from way back, and he's trying to pin this on the United States Navy. The United States Navy didn't do it. If the United States Navy did it, there'd be a line of sailors at every newspaper in the country wanting to tell their story, because they would never cover up the United States Navy shooting down an airliner by accident or on purpose or in any imaginable conceivable way that you can think of. I was in the United States Navy for many years, and while they'll cover up and keep secret any legitimate operation or incident that involves the national security, no sailor would ever keep that secret.
Well, do you think then that Salinger is like part of a disinformation campaign?
Absolutely. He's a barefaced liar. For instance, if you'd read what he wrote there, none of it's true in the first place. There is no such thing as an Aegis missile.
No.
There is an Aegis class cruiser. But there is no such thing as an Aegis missile. I mean, you can go through that. And if you were ever in the Navy or ever in the government at all, you could just, I mean, the whole thing is just full of lies and errors and obvious disinformation.
Well, there was a funny comment on CNN where they were talking about some of the Challenger stuff. They said, yes, the Orion aircraft, which is the P-3C, the anti-submarine aircraft, they said, it's a small aircraft. And I looked up
the Orion, P-3 is a big aircraft.
I looked up in James, and it's approximately like, 29 meters, wingspan 30-plus meters long. It's as big as a 737.
Yes, it's a big aircraft, and it's full of electronic equipment, and it's specifically used for hunting submarines. It usually has a magnetometer sticking out the back end, looks kind of like a stinger. And it carries sonar buoys and all kinds of sophisticated... Some of the things I can't tell you what it carries because it's legitimately classified.
Well, the thing I wondered was, like, why would CNN try to put the spin on that? I don't know if it was just someone who was ignorant of the military aspects or whatever, saying they're trying to say it was a small airplane. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. It's as big as a 737 and it's got four engines.
Why get wrapped up in it? Who cares?
Yeah, that's right.
Who cares? What we care about is the missile shot that plane down. What we want to know is who did it and why won't anybody admit it?
I have another thing kind of off the subject a little bit. Talking about federal crimes, and Thomas Jefferson wrote the Kentucky Resolutions in 1801, and the book is The Portable Thomas Jefferson, edited by Merrill Peterson. And on page 282, one of the quotes that I just quote, resolved, this is Jefferson talking, resolved that the Constitution of the United States, having delegated to Congress a power to punish treason, counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States, piracies and felonies committed on the high seas, and offenses against the law of nations, and no other crimes whatsoever.
That's correct.
Yeah, and so he goes,
except for one thing. This is where everybody goes wrong. They say, Congress can't pass that law. It's unconstitutional. That's wrong. Congress can pass any law it wants. In the Constitution, it says Congress shall legislate in all cases whatsoever over the 10-mile area known as the District of Columbia, forts, dockyards, and territories and possessions of the United States. In the United States Attorney's Guide, it says, acts of Congress do not apply to the states or to states' citizens.
So it's all under the color of law, then?
It's all under the color of law. They can pass any law they want over federally owned land, territory, dockyards, forts, the 10-mile square area known as the District of Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
But not in the states.
Well, that goes back to what you were talking about a couple weeks ago about the BLM trying to claim that they have some authority on non-federal land.
No, they don't. They don't, but they want to get it, and these stupid sheeple out there are going to let them have it.
Yeah, like you said, if you don't protest or you acquiesce to it, that's essentially giving them a blank.
If you don't claim your rights, and if you're not willing to defend them with your life, you do not have any. That's the very basic, fundamental foundation of the law. No, they don't even know what America is. They don't know what the principles and ideals upon which this country was founded and based. They've never read the Constitution. They talk about their constitutional rights. There are no constitutional rights. They're creator-endowed rights that each human being is born with. The Constitution recognizes those rights and protects the individual from the government infringing upon those rights. That's what it's all about.
Now, I have a question, though.
This nation has become an ignorant herd of sheep.
They're not
Americans. They don't even know what an American is. Go out and stop anybody on the street and say, what is an American? And listen to the gobbledygook crap that dribbles out of their mouth and they don't even know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So,
ask them what the Bill of Rights is. One guy told me it was a laundry list.
It seems from reading his writings and his letters and things that, you know, he believes in this and the humanism and this whole, like, the whole...
Jefferson was a deist. Yes, he did. Most of the founding fathers were deists and humanists.
Mm-hmm.
They hated religion and religious persecution. They pretended to be devout Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And
they had to.
Because they had to. That's right.
As society. Well, my question was, though, so Jefferson was... I think Jefferson was a patriot, though. He wanted us to be free and independent. If we had like knowledge.
Why do you think they called it the Great Experiment or the Grand Experiment?
Okay.
It was an experiment to find out if the common man could actually handle being free and being responsible. And they had an ulterior agenda also. Never before in the history of the world had the common man been free. By giving the common man his freedom, they took away the sovereignty and the despotism of the kings and queens and toppled them from off their thrones. Because they knew there could never be a new world order, a golden dawn, a new Atlantis, as long as there was one king or queen sitting on a throne anywhere in the world.
Okay, and then basically they co-opted most of the royalty now, though, too.
Yes, but if you'll notice, there are no kings and queens who have any authority. The kings and queens that are left, except in some small countries where they they don't have the military might to exercise that authority against anyone but their own poor people. And the ones that are left, like Queen Elizabeth, she doesn't have any power.
No, the so-called constitutional monarchy.
If she tried to step out and exercise the power that King Henry VIII could have exercised, they'd rip her to shreds in the streets.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that why there's this sort of this plot against Islam then? Because there are actually kings and sultans and like royal rulers?
No.
No,
that's not the reason.
Okay, because Islam believes in a personal God?
Because
one God.
Islam believes in one God that is not human, and that God's laws are absolute, and they run their nations that way. They don't have Saudi Arabian laws. The Quran is the law.
Mm-hmm. So you must destroy people of the Quran, then. That's one of the people that's going to be destroyed, along with, like, Jews and Christians who actually believe in a personal God, because that would...
Yeah, that's why all these people who say, it's the Jews, they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish religion will be destroyed also. It's not going to be allowed. No fundamentalist religion will be allowed in the New World Order. All religions will come together eventually and blend as one into the new religion of the Great Light, which symbolizes man's intellect, the fact that man himself, through the use of this intellect, will govern and control nature and the universe, and thus is himself God. And it'll be a new age. Go to any new age festival or whatever. Just walk around and listen to everybody if you want to know what the new world religion is going to be, because that's it.
Well,
go
like
to a Baha'i faith meeting and just sit down and listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's, you know, just your religion is fine as long as everybody else's is approved and okay. You know, you can have a thousand religions, but none is greater than the other. None can, you know, do anything with legislation or politics. You can't have this personal God, you know, on and on.
Well, you can't have God at all. You can't have a Jesus Christ. You can't have, you know, it's got to be a humanist religion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
I said that was going to be my last thing about Jefferson, but one more quick thing. What about this whole cloning thing?
What about it? Good does it do to find out if there's a Bigfoot if in the process you lose your freedom, you lose the document that protects your freedom, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and you become a slave in some system that nobody has even outlined for you yet? So who cares about all this other stuff?
Okay.
The most important thing for us to be concerned with right now, is making sure that freedom does not die in this country. And if it doesn't die in this country, it will not die in the world.
Well, I think as long as we have our weapons, even if we have, you know, like this whole thing about people not being Americans and not understanding the Constitution and the government, even if they have their weapons, I don't think, you know, those masks out there who don't understand this whole thing about, you know, they don't understand the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, but maybe they have some inkling that they don't want these, you know, stormtroopers in the streets, that they still have their weapons. I don't think a lot of them are just going to hand them over either. Like, they'll sort of be like this, I don't know, a nebulous force against the government. I don't see people turning over the 60 plus million handguns, shotguns.
Well, we're not going to talk force levels, numbers, plans, anything like that. I will tell you this. It'll be a hell of a fight.
Pardon me?
It'll be a hell of a fight for a long time, I'll tell you that.
Well, no, I didn't mean to, like, dig up anything about the militias or anything, but just like...
But you are. These are things you don't talk about.
Okay.
You don't talk about it. Period.
Bill, I'm sorry. I'll let you go then. And
okay.
I'll let someone else get in. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you for calling. Yeah, we don't talk about things like that. We know what our forces are and what's going to happen, and they know what their forces are and what they think is going to happen. I will tell you this, that the United States Army War College did a computer model of such a war, and it shows that we're going to win. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Mr. Cooper. This is Virginia over Barbara here in Texas.
Hi, Virginia.
I'd like to ask you about Veritas 15. Is it any time come out soon or?
Yeah, it's in the process.
Is it?
We've had some problems. We had the computer breakdown that I talked to you about, and the editor, the new person who's doing the paper now.
No, I haven't heard that. I haven't really been able to pick up your show
very often
on shortwave, so I'm kind of in the dark on it.
His wife just had a baby.
Oh, okay.
So right, needless to say, that.
Hello?
Slow down. Take a breath.
Well,
so his wife having the baby, or his family with the new baby, has delayed the paper a minimum of 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I hadn't heard anything on it for about 8 months, so I thought, well, you know, I think I heard earlier you said something about the network going off between...
There's a distinct possibility.
Okay.
Everybody...
Well, like I said, I don't know if people are having a hard time picking up your program, because... I can hardly hear it myself at times, and I run on AC, and then, you know, the batteries, et cetera. And various times there's so much noise on there, it's hard to, you know, I listen, I try to tune it for about 40 minutes at times.
You need a long wire antenna.
Well, I got that just about now, but I'm straining my ear trying to hear you today, so I'll let you go, and I hope you can stay on, but... if things have to go that way, well, I really would miss it. I missed it when you went off before, but I'm really not financially able to do anything of...
Wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
What makes you think I am?
Well, no, I didn't mean to apply that.
But no, the implication was clear. You're not financially able.
Yeah.
What makes you think I am?
See, I was just speaking for myself. I didn't mean...
I'm speaking for myself, too. I'm not financially able either. I understand the consequences of not doing it. And if we have to live in a ditch to do what's necessary and right to keep this country free, we'll do it. Now, let me ask you, would you do it?
Well, thank you. I appreciate what you are doing.
Uh-huh. See how quick she backed out of that, folks? Don't ever tell me you can't afford it, because I'll get in your face so quick you won't even know what happened. Folks, because I can't afford it. You will never know what my wife and my children and myself have done without to do these kinds of things. Don't ever tell me that. It's an excuse why you're not doing anything. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill. This is Jerry Carroll in New Mexico.
Hello, Jerry.
I certainly wanted to thank you for your broadcast on the 24th of last month. About the BLM, it helped us tremendously.
Good.
We did, I made a tape of it and took it to the Public Land Use Advisory Committee here in Lincoln County, and they made a letter out to the BLM, and we had a big meeting with the BLM personnel, and we got to explain to them what the Constitution was and what their oath of office was. And apparently, all of this put together, not just us, but the whole Southwest, has made them people withdraw their attempt to consolidate their so-called laws that have been on the books since 1978, by the way. And we will not have another Gestapo federal force for the time being.
Well, good. Good for you. See what you can do? That's wonderful. That is wonderful.
Also, we found out, sir, that... you know, Jackie Petrone's right on. 78 is a key time for laws having been passed in various states in that time period. Not exactly 78. But we have a law here in New Mexico. It's NMSA 29-1-11, 1978. And if I have just a minute, I'll read that a portion of it, item E, to you.
Go ahead.
It's all persons who are duly commissioned federal law enforcement officers employed by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Drug Enforcement Administration, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, United States Secret Service, United States Customs Service, Immigration and Naturalization Service, United States Marshal Service, and Postal Inspection Service, and other appropriate federal officers as designated by the Chief of the New Mexico State Police, who are assigned in New Mexico, are recognized and authorized to act as New Mexico peace officers and have all the powers of New Mexico peace officers to enforce state laws in New Mexico, including the power to make arrests for violation of state laws. This subsection shall not be construed to impose liability upon or to require indemnification by the state for any act performed by a federal law enforcement officer pursuant to this subsection. We are going after this big time.
Good for you. You'll find that they passed that law over the years in many states, not all states, and that some states now have that law in their legislatures at the present time to get it passed. The federal government realizes and knows full well that they have no authority outside the boundaries of federally owned land. They have no authority. They have no jurisdiction. They have no basis in the law whatsoever to do anything within a state. And that's just the reality of it. You see, if they did, they wouldn't need these laws, would they?
Exactly. We've been trying to get this word out. We just had a gun show here down in Alamogordo, and for 2 days I've been passing out your thing off your internet on the militia.
Good for you.
In its entirety. And we've been discussing this with several of the German personnel and some of our military personnel, and it's amazing. One of the gentlemen, we've got a copy of the Bill of Rights laying on the table, of course, and he came up and asked, said, where is the thing about the guns in this Bill of Rights? Well, when he left, he not only knew it was the Second Amendment, but he also had the militia packet and a copy of the Constitution. And that's the type of work that we're going to get. The only way that I see it, we're going to actually get any results.
Yeah, we have to educate people because, see, they've been bamboozled, lied to, deceived, and manipulated all of their lives. They have no idea what reality is. They think the law is too difficult to learn. The law is so simple. It's unbelievable. That's why all across this country, they're having special meetings of judges and United States attorneys to find out how they're going to deal with those of us who studied the law and are beating their butts in courts.
Well, we've had some bad experience in some of our courts here. We've got a man that's doing time now for contempt of court because he didn't answer to his name within 3 seconds. And we're seeing a large percentage of these people just absolutely disregarding their own process, their own...
Well, that's because they've... what's been happening in the courts is not lawful or legal to begin with.
Absolutely.
So when we go in and we bring the real law and present it in front of them and they find themselves backed in a corner where they're going to have to rule in our favor, then they throw the books out the window and they do crazy things. They do things like you could only believe would have happened in the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany. And it's happening all across this country now. We're about a hair's breadth from a civil war in this country. And I don't know what's going to kick it off. I just know it won't be us, because we happen to understand that whoever fires the first shot loses. We've pledged there will never be another Waco, ever. If they even for one moment entertain the idea, will bring the wrath of God down around their shoulders so quick, they won't even know what happened.
Absolutely. We agree with you 100%. I just hope that we have enough numbers whenever the time comes. And I've been asked several times, well, how many people are in the militia? And I'll say this, there's enough.
That's right. Numbers are none of their business.
Right. Well, I'll let you off of here, Bill, and I sure do appreciate you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
In the kind of the same situation you are, like everybody else that does this kind of thing or anything else, but we're going to try and keep your station up. I think it's worthwhile, and I think it's the only real truth that's going out.
Well, thank you.
And God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
And your family.
I appreciate you and all those other people who don't sit on their butts and just listen and talk big talk, but really do something. Do something. You, my friend, are the real hero. And everybody like you who is doing something, real Americans who really understand the stakes. You don't want to lose this battle, folks. You don't want to lose this battle. You can't afford it. You can't imagine, unless you've studied the history of socialism and communism like I have, all back through the history of the world. If you think this is some new phenomenon, you're crazy. The socialism that destroyed the Roman Empire. You better believe it. Everybody was getting something. And all went down the tubes. You can't afford to lose this war. Study history. Find out what these people really are. What their promises really mean. What's really in store for us in the future. And when you really get a glimpse of it, a chill will run up your spine and you'll really know what stark fear is all about. And then that'll get you moving. Because there's nothing in this world that's worse than what they have planned. Nothing. Not even death. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, I meet people every day who say they believe in God, who claim they believe in God, believe in an afterlife. I meet Christians who believe in Jesus Christ. I meet all kinds of people from all different religions who will all believe all of these different things. I said, well, why aren't you doing something? Don't you understand that freedom is at stake here? Oh, well, I'm afraid. How can you be afraid? You just told me that you know God. You understand God. That you know what it's all about. How could you possibly be afraid? What are you afraid of? Well, they might hurt my family. They might kill me. Wait a minute. I don't understand. They might kill you. But you're telling me you believe in God, you understand God, Jesus is your Savior, but they might kill you. The two don't jive. You see, you're lying to me about something. See, if you're really afraid, you can't possibly know God. You can't possibly believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can't be. You're lying to me. Because if you really did, you wouldn't be afraid to die. As a matter of fact, you'd probably look forward to it. That is, if you lived a good life and did the right thing, there's no fear in dying. It's the ultimate freedom, as a matter of fact. That's what scares people about me, folks. I'm not afraid of anybody or anything. Period. Because I do know God. I carry God around with me in my heart all the time. I am not afraid. I know that death is the ultimate freedom. And for a man like me who loves freedom, there's no fear in that. No fear at all. Ladies and gentlemen, the hour of the time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading, our people in Phoenix, Craig Smith, Joanne, all those good people down there, who specialize in precious metals, non-reportable, non-confiscatable hard assets, the kind of stuff that you're going to need when all hell breaks loose, when society disintegrates to a point of chaos during which a great battle will be fought for the future of freedom in this world. And when that happens, the money that you've got in your pockets, not money anyway, won't be worth anything to anybody. Nobody will take it. They'll laugh at you. You're going to need something that's been universally recognized throughout the history of the world as real money. It'll save your life. Call 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Ask for a copy, folks, of the free newsletter. And ask how you can get your hands on some real money. While you're at it, thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time. Because if they weren't, you probably wouldn't be listening to it right now. They've sponsored this broadcast for almost 5 years now. They sponsored this broadcast in Waco, Texas. When I told the world, worldwide shortwave radio and by satellite, that if we didn't somehow figure out a way to stop what was happening there, all of those people in that church would be murdered. Our enemies burned the radio station to the ground. And that ought to prove to you, if for no other reason, that something was really wrong in Waco, Texas. Why else would they burn the radio station to the ground? They tried to shut me up, folks. It didn't work. Within 24 hours, Swiss America Trading had us on another station, and we continued to broadcast. And we brought the truth to the world. 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did. In fact, you'll be very glad that you did, folks. And I hope that you do it now, because you know how you tend to procrastinate. 1-800-289-2646. Get your hands on some real money. You'll be glad that you did. And folks, if you really want to know what I'm talking about, I mean, if you've got any brain at all, this ought to do it for you. Get a $20 gold piece and hold it in your hand. Okay? And then get a penny and hold it in your hand. Feel them. Look at them. You can tell the difference. And it's real stuff. It's real commodity. Okay? It's not phony. It's not in your mind. It's real. It really has a value. And then take out of your wallet a $100 bill, lay it on the table beside a $1 bill, and I defy you to tell me the difference between the two. That ought to wake you up real quick. You see, if there's no difference between a $100 bill and a $1 bill, you've been had. You've been had, we've been had all of our lives. Never understood it, but it's the truth. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. Wake up. Wake up. Go in your bathroom. Look in the mirror. Look at that sheep staring back at you. And determine once and for all that you're going to take that wool off and become a real person. Get rid of the hoodwink, folks. Grow up. And don't think I'm lording it over you. I'm not. I lived in that condition for most of my life until one day I looked in that bathroom mirror and I saw exactly what I was. And I threw off that mantle of wool. But I'll never go back to it. Not ever. And I hope you can do the same thing. The number is 520-333-4578, and in just a minute or two, we'll be taking calls again. 520-333-4578. We're back, and as you can hear, is our first call. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
It's a pleasure to get back and talk to you.
Well, thank you.
I would like to ask you a question.
Sir, go ahead.
When our monetary system of paper falls down to zip, I have a feeling that the federal government already knows where they're going to get their gold supply, and it's lying off the shores in the ocean of our coasts. And that's basically my philosophy, is I don't think they're using that as a bank. They don't want anybody to take that wealth out of the ocean. They want it left there, and when the time comes, they're going to supply all the needs they need from that supply themselves.
Well,
I'm very grateful to be able to talk to you, and I will be getting back in touch with you at a later date.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're right about one thing. They don't want anybody to touch the natural resources in the ocean or in the forest or in the land anywhere. And Jonathan May is the one who came up with the idea and tried to sell it to third world countries and was helping them get out of debt, out of the debt-based economy and away from the World Bank. Well, they railroaded him and gave him a show trial where he was not allowed to produce any evidence or witnesses, and they chunked him in the prison. And I wrote about him in my book, Behold a Pale Horse. And they took his idea, which was to establish as a backing for the currency or the paper money of a country the natural resources that was in the ground. And the New World Order has stolen his idea. They have developed the Conservation Bank, which is going to be taking the place of the World Bank eventually, and they are coercing third world countries and people to satisfy their debt by pledging as collateral for the currency of the New World Order the natural resources of their countries. And that's what's happening. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Bill.
Hello.
I wonder if I could ask you a question or two. You've done a lot in my life as far as informing me, as far as unhoodwinking me, I suppose, with Vogue Rights and a few other people who I used to have faith in. And if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you just two questions.
Sure.
One, how do you, I know you say, I believe you say you're a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that's what you said, I'm not sure. But how do you deal with the Matthew concerning oaths and the oaths First Continental Militia, whatever you want to call it.
The second.
Those you use. Do you have a clause for affirmation?
Well, it's not really an oath. We call it an oath, but it is an affirmation.
Okay. And the second thing I was going to ask about was that in your book, you have your, I think it's your wife in front of the Christmas tree?
Yes.
So you don't have a problem with the traditional celebrations, just as long as you understand what the real meaning behind them is?
Yes. If you understand what the real meaning behind them is, and you're not paying homage to some pagan god in your ignorance, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that.
So you can take the Christmas tree and make it a part of the celebration of the birth of Christ, and if you intend that that's what it's for, that's fine. But if you just have it there because your parents had it there, because their parents had it there, and it's really a symbol of a pagan religious worship of trees, then you're in trouble.
Is it possible, I understand that the only way to get to join the Second Continental Army is after, you know, security checks and all that other. But is it possible to have an oath written so it does not use the word oath, in fact says affirmation? Because that's the one thing that really bothers me about it.
I don't see any problem with that. The only reason we called it an oath is to, and we did debate this. It is an affirmation. It does not use the word swear or anything in the body itself. It uses the word affirm.
Well, you know, I don't.
But we
the devil's in the details.
We debated that extensively, and decided to call it an oath because it brings down the seriousness of the matter. And a lot of people are trying to get out of being serious. Anyone who takes this affirmation and thinks that there's no consequences if they violate it are severely in for a rude awakening when they find out that ultimately they're going to be brought before a court-martial.
Right.
And they will be charged and tried and judged and sentenced.
If I could ask you one more question. I was recently introduced and asked to join a JBS, John Birch Society meeting.
Uh-huh.
And they seemed real good, and you know, and they seemed to be for the country and all that. I think they were. I try not to go with such a religious bent on things because I'm more for the Constitution than any particular religion, since I believe that's what it stands for. But the one thing they had an article, you know, they called the conspiracy issue of the New American Magazine. It's a pretty good magazine,
uh-huh.
And it dealt with. They had one article on the Illuminati. And it was a very good article up to the very last paragraph where it said that all these things were mainly because of the Orient Lodges and the French Lodge and not British or American Lodges. And right then and there, it made me suspicious of the crazy because, I mean, I know better.
Yeah, well...
I wonder if you had any insight on the JBS.
Yeah, and I've talked about them before. What do they do?
That's what they do. They talk. It seems to me that...
Then that's all you need to know about the JBS. If that's all they do is talk, they're not worth a damn. They're not helping this country. They are just providing exactly what they're supposed to provide, a neat little cul-de-sac where they can trap people in to chase their tails, and anybody who's a member of that organization who begins to do anything other than write their congressman are severely reprimanded and chastised by the hierarchy and usually by the membership also.
Well, definitely on that, because I know in the last meeting, I went to like 3 meetings. I didn't join. I said, I'd like to, you can go without joining, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'd like to see what it's about first. And after about the 3rd meeting, I said, we watch these videos. When are we going to have a parade? When are we going to have a float, you know? Why don't we set up a stand or something? And that's always, well, we got our trembles. We got this. So,
yeah.
Anyway, thanks a lot. I hope you do keep on the network, and I hope things do go well for you.
Well, thank you, and we'll do everything in our power to try to make sure that it does. But
I was just out in Arizona lately, and my wife definitely wants to move out there now. We live in North Carolina, and she's starting to think maybe the West is a little bit freer out there.
Yeah, not only free, but room to move, and it's truly God's country. I mean, there is nothing more beautiful than the American West, and the state of Arizona has it all.
Well, I hope to meet you sometime.
Thank you. Look forward to it. 520-333-4578 is the number. Look to the work, folks. If you want to know whether you should join an organization, what do they do? If they don't do anything, you're wasting your time. Unless you want to get in there with all the other little tail chasers and run around in circles and talk about what you're not doing that you think you're doing. And make yourself feel real big and proud because you belong to an organization that doesn't do anything. You know, I can't get into that. They don't want me in their organization because I pin their ears to the wall real quick. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bill. What's the story with Veritas?
We just got through talking about that about 10 minutes ago.
Well, the thing is, I can't get to the first hour, and then you start to come in during the second hour, and it's still a weak signal. It's like you're on a 10-watt station or something.
Well, I don't want to waste any more airtime talking about it. Call my secretary tomorrow morning, and she'll clue you in.
Yeah, right.
Okay? 520-333-4578 is the number. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi. I've got a couple questions for you, Bill.
Sure.
Can you tell me the address and ordering information for Oklahoma City Day 1?
Yes. And a matter of fact, Connie, have you got the sales sheet out there? If you do, I'd like to see it. It might be in here. Oh, here it is, right here. I've got it. Yeah. Starting Saturday, our annual sale began. Every year we have a sale. And it just started. Oklahoma City Day 1 by Michelle Moore. The paperback for is $29.95 normally. Right now, for CAGI Intelligence Service members, it's $25 postpaid. Actually, it's $34.95 normally, including shipping and handling. Right now, for CAGI IS members, it's $25 postpaid. For non-members, it's $27.50 postpaid, so you can save almost $8 if you purchase it now. The hardcover, this is the real deal here. Hardcover, there's only 500 in the world printed. Now, this is a quality hardcover. I don't know if you've ever seen a real quality book before, but this is one. We put a lot of money and effort into it. The hardcover, signed and numbered, only 500 in the whole world, never will be another one. Normally $65 postpaid for CAGI and IS members. Right now, $45 postpaid, $50 for non-members. Now, if you live outside of the United States, Canada, or in any other country, it's a higher price. So you're going to have to call Connie if you live outside of this country at 520-333-4578 anytime between 9 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon Mountain Standard Time to get those prices. And if you haven't sent for the tape list and the current catalog, you better do it quick, because this sale ends on April the 15th. You make your check or money order payable to the Harvest Trust, or just Harvest if you want, and send it to the Harvest Trust, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. That's the Harvest Trust, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. We'll get one right out to you.
Do you have any even long-range idea when the next volume's coming out? Is that a year?
No, we're working on it right now. This isn't something you can hurry. First, it requires extensive investigation and sourcing and legwork and tracking down and verifying the sources and verifying the information. Then it all has to be collated and perused and analyzed and put together, and then Michelle sits down and writes the book. And a lot of people involved in this, a lot of effort goes into it. It's and those of you who have read the book, you know the work that's gone into this. And
well, the few times I've heard Michelle on the air, I've been real impressed with not just her presentation, but seems like how well she's backed it all up.
Yes.
Okay, so there's absolutely nothing.
That's our trademark.
Viable as far as when I'm putting a date on the next edition, the next volume, rather.
No.
Okay.
And even if it was ready to go to press right now, I wouldn't give you a date, just in case something happens that would delay it, you know, because people, you know, if I give a date, people always hold me to it. And if something happens that delays it, they get angry with me.
They give a ballpark estimate, but people want it chiseled in stone.
Yeah, and so I can't do it.
Okay. Well, I thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, everything's on sale, folks, now. Everything. Things that you probably may not have been able to afford before. For instance, the treason documents. 620 some odd pages of documentation of all the stuff that we talk about on here. Government documents, Federal Register, Congressional Record, laws, treaties, all there. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
Excellent chance to talk to you, sir. Wanted to know if you guys had heard about the situation here in Texas.
Which situation is that?
Well, the Republic of Texas fiasco.
What situation are you specifically talking about?
Well, specifically about the feds here en masse, in force, have been here for about a week and a half now.
Where?
Well, we've got...
You're talking about Fort Davis?
Well, what they're doing is they're spacing areas. I've been on the phone all morning trying to confirm and get this. I've talked to two people that have eyeballed, two of these gentlemen that I trust, and we've got from 120 to 250 Special Forces guys, SWAT type members at Thunder Ranch and Mountain Home outside of Kerrville, Texas. We've got the British plane, the little plane that did the FLIR tape at Waco, is out there doing overflights. I spoke with...
You know what this is all about, don't you?
Yes, sir.
What?
Well, it's all about intimidation. It's all about...
No, it's not. There's an arrest warrant for Richard McLaren.
Yes, sir.
Richard, it has nothing to do with the Republic of Texas. There's an arrest warrant for Richard McLaren. Richard McLaren says that he's not going to submit to the warrant, and he has surrounded himself with guards. Richard McLaren has been ousted from the Republic of Texas. The Republic of Texas has brought impeachment proceedings against him. They have renounced him. And so it has nothing to do with the Republic of Texas, which, by the way, has no legal standing whatsoever anyway.
That's correct. You're correct on all points. But we also have a... It goes further than that. I spoke with Archie Lowe.
Michigan. I spoke with Rick McLaren personally this morning. I spoke with Johnny Johnson this morning. This situation is going to, the problem here we have, Mr. Cooper, is there's people in other states that are watching this like they did the Ruby Ridge and the Montana situation, and they're talking about doing some stupid things. I'm trying to get the information out so we can keep people calm and let this thing progress to its head without somebody stupid doing something stupid somewhere else.
Well, here's the way I look at it. Nobody should be doing anything with this. This is a personal thing that Richard McLaren has done that has upset the law. He could probably, a long time ago, have gone in and settled the matter in court, but he chose not to. Now, Richard McLaren is doing the wrong thing, and anybody who thinks that we're going to save freedom by keeping Richard McLaren from being served with a warrant to appear in court is out of their ever-loving mind.
Well,
Richard McLaren needs to walk out of there, wherever he's at, and go take care of his legal problem and stop saying all of these things that it's about the Republic of Texas and it has nothing to do with anything whatsoever. And anybody who thinks that it does is not playing with a full deck of cards. Now, the federal government, when challenged like that, and the local law enforcement officials, when challenged like that, are going to have to go and take care of their business, aren't they?
Well, that's the problem. They've named 24 other individuals besides Rick now. They've named Ralph Turner, who is now with the Wachita folks in Louisiana, which will drag them into it. That makes it a two-state, whatever you want to call it.
But what is it all about?
Well, it's about the paperwork trail going into the federal courthouses here in Texas.
It's about land, isn't it?
Correct. It's about money and land.
And this Richard McLaren was involved in this long before there was any such thing as the Republic of Texas.
He's been doing this a long time. He's been doing it officially since 92.
That's right.
And we have factions within the Republic of Texas that are backing him. We've got factions backing Mr. Lowe. We've got factions backing the other so-called president.
Let me tell you something else that's wrong about this. Number one, the Republic of Texas has been lying since its beginning. It was never approved by the World Court. In fact, the World Court refused to even hear the case. I could go through and just cite this whole thing. This thing is a scam from the word go. Most of the people who belong to the Republic of Texas have renounced their citizenship in the United States of America. Did you know that?
That's correct, yes, sir.
No militia has any business being involved in this whatsoever. Period.
Well,
any more than the militia would have any business in the affairs of Afghanistan.
Well, that's the kicker. That's why I'm trying to get this word out, because if somebody goes to the window and shoots at a chopper for no reason, we've just given them the excuse to declare martial law, especially if they do it in other states than Texas. And
well,
looks like it's coming down.
Didn't you ever figure that maybe that's exactly what this whole thing is all about to begin with?
You and I are preaching to the choir. But that's why I'm trying to get the information out.
Yeah.
I don't want nobody going to the window with an AR and shooting no chopper anywhere, because that gives them the trigger to pull the plug and start this thing off. I mean, I know there's some folks out here that are ready for it to start, but I don't personally, I'm not one of them. When it starts, I'll be there, but I'd like to be one of the last ones to go, if at all possible.
But the thing is, and here's the thing, we can't start anything. Whoever fires the first shot loses. I've said this over and over and over and over again.
That's correct.
People, people with brains know that.
Yep.
So everybody just stand back and let happen what happens. And if they go in there and pull another Waco, then we are absolutely justified in doing whatever we have to do to restore a constitutional republic. However, if they're going in there to arrest Richard McLaren on a lawful warrant for things that he's been doing for many years, and the militia thinks that they're going to get involved in that, and they fire the first shot, well, then the government's justified in doing to the militia whatever they choose to do after that, because they'll have the sympathy and support of the American public, won't they?
Absolutely. And I've been hammering this point now since, I don't know, for 2 or 3 years, that when they have the general public on their side, they're going to try to squash us like a bug. And that's not anybody in general. That's the whole Christian patriotic side of America, they're going to try to stomp us like a grape. And if we give them the excuse, then the general public will be totally against us. There'll be no support, and this war is going to be twice as tough as it was to begin with.
That's right.
Anyway, I'll get off here. God bless you, sir. Appreciate it.
God bless you, and thank you for bringing up the subject, because I just said a lot of things that needed to be said to a lot of stupid people. And I want to thank you for bringing it up. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Hello? What did I do? Hello?
Hi, Bill. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I just got done with my St. Patrick's Day dinner, and I tuned you in, and I heard you had a call in, and I was wondering if you could just spend a few seconds on saying what's up with your plans on Veritas. Thanks a lot.
Again, I just talked about it a while ago. Veritas is in the process of being printed, issue number 15, not being printed, but being put together to be printed. And the man in charge of that, his wife just had a little baby, which delays things. We've had some computer breakdowns and so on and so forth, but we're getting it together. It's been a while since we published an issue, and that's because we lost our staff, and I just can't do everything in the world, folks. I know you want me to, but I just can't do it by myself. I just can't. I hired a secretary, and Connie and I together can't do it. And Annie, we, you know, three people can't run a radio network, a radio show, publish a newspaper, run a national news service, travel and speak, do the resource that's required to produce the information documented and sourced that people require, and write books, and, you know, I could go on and on. You have no idea the extent of what I'm involved in. And so personally, I think I'm involved in too much. But, you know, nobody else is doing it. Some of you would get off your butts and do it with the same quality, then I could sit back and relax. And that's what I'm looking for. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Saber.
Hi, Saber. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm hanging in there. How are you doing?
Fine.
Good. I've been out of town for a week. I was listening to what Mark was saying. I see the problem with this so far that I've really noticed, and if you're reading the papers in Texas, you'll pick up on it. I'm going to read you two sentences from the San Antonio Express News from Friday. And this is just to give you an idea. This is the latest of a group of articles that has been done on the Republic of Texas. Legislation criminalizing the filing of fraudulent liens was approved Thursday by the Texas House. While members of the militia group it targets blasted state officials over the proposal.
Saber, I got to stop you right there.
Mm-hmm.
The Republic of Texas is not a militia, never was.
That's right.
The Republic of Texas is not approved by the constitutional militia of the state of Texas. They have renounced their citizenship in the United States of America, and the militia is sworn to protect and defend the Constitution for the United States of America and their states.
Right. But do you see the danger in what's happening with the media?
I see the danger in what's happening when stupid people get involved in any issue, and specifically issues that involve people facing off with guns.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I certainly do.
Well, they're trying to correlate the two groups, with the militia in the state with the Republic of Texas group or groups. It's now, I think, in three factions.
Yeah, well, this is the propaganda of the socialist enemy.
Right.
They always do this.
Yeah. But people need to keep that in prayer, because that's something that they have really worked on now for several months to put it in the eyes and the minds of people that group is one and the same, and it's not.
Yeah.
So therein lies the problem, should we come down to another.
Well, people have to understand that the federal government attacking a church full of men, women, and children simply because they claim that church did not pay a one member of the church did not pay a $200 tax to own a particular weapon, which, by the way, never existed in the first place, and what's happening in Texas now.
Right.
It could have been solved a long time ago if Richard McLaren just would have gone and taken care of business.
Right.
This whole thing has been brought about by one person for selfish reasons. Now, it'd be different if Richard McLaren, understanding the law, and all of us understanding the law, had refused to file and pay an income tax return, and they were going out there to kill him for that.
Right.
Then the militia would have a reason to be involved. But not because he got involved in some land deal and was creating money out of thin air. See, I have no sympathy for people who criticize the Federal Reserve for creating money out of thin air in a debt-based economy when they try to do the same thing.
Right.
They don't have my sympathy.
Right. Well, I didn't want to clarify that because I think that's going to be the problem is that people won't be able to differentiate that the groups are two different entities.
Yeah, the militia is a lawful organization defined in the law that exists for a specific purpose. In the states, the purpose is one thing defined by the state law. In the nation, it is defined by the Constitution. The militia exists as a pre-existing body to the nation itself and can be called up by Congress or can act individually for only three things. And that is to execute the laws of the Union, to repel invasion, to suppress insurrection. It's no different in any state. However, some states have additional reasons for which the militia can be called up.
All right, that was all I had.
Thank you, Saber.
That's it. Bye-bye.
And most people don't even understand that by law, they are members of the militia, whether they like it or whether they want to be or not. The law of most states and the law of the United States of America defines a member of the militia as all able-bodied males between the ages of 17 and 45. It doesn't say you can join if you want. It doesn't say you might be. It says you are. You are. And if you ever were a member of any of the military branches of the United States of America, you are a member of the militia until age 64 or 65. I'm not sure which. I have to look in Title 32 again and check that age. If you were honorably discharged or retired from service. So there. A lot of you listening just found out that you're members of the militia. And you never knew it in your life. Well, you are. And by golly, if it comes time to fight, you're going to be called up. And you'll have to do your duty. And if you don't, you'll be arrested and held for a courts-martial. And that's a fact, folks. That's not conjecture either. And if you don't believe these things can be done, you better read the history of this country. You better read the history of the militia, not what these panty-waist lying socialists tell you, but the real facts, the truth. And you'll find out that reality is a lot different than you ever thought it was. The militia is the backbone of a free people. The militia is the last resort of any people when facing tyranny. If all else fails, it will be the militia that restores constitutional republican government and freedom for not just this country, but the world. You better be careful what you listen to. For instance, the head of the militia in the state of Ohio is a black man. There are black militias in Detroit, Oakland, California, Los Angeles, and many other places. All carefully formed and ready to fight for freedom just like every other militia unit. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper. I've been listening to your broadcast for approximately 2 years. I have never communicated with you. First and foremost, I'd like to thank you for your truthfulness. I've done a lot of research on most all of the materials. I subscribe to Veritas. And I've taken the time to personally check out the data that you've produced, and I'd like to thank you so much for the truth that you brought forth, not only in my life, but many of the folks that I also know. Just keep up the good work. I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate hearing that.
know the truth. The time that you've taken to uncover the resources that we can also look at has been very valuable, and there won't be any wars ever won that'll be have any value unless it's based upon education, and we thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, that's all I had to say today. Keep up the good work. We got you tuned.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, folks. By golly. And we must be engaged forever in a quest for the truth. And we've got to find it, no matter how elusive it is. And we've got to hold on to it. We've got to get away from the lies and the deceptions and the manipulations that have controlled our lives for most of our lives. We must hold fast to the truth. Seek ye the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I can assure you, nothing else will or can do it. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless each and every single one of you. And may God, in His infinite mercy, save this republic. If you don't own a weapon, buy one. It is your duty. If you are of militia age, seek out and join a militia. And get ready to fight for your freedom, because you just may have to do it. This is the Voice of Freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also carried on WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 99.55 kHz, Monday through Friday nights, 5 until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be sure and tune in later this evening
at 9 Eastern for the Jackie Patru program, immediately followed by Michael Cottingham with Quest for Health.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
We now return you to All Oldies, Most of the Time.
Who wants to buy this diamond ring? She took it off her finger now. It doesn't mean a thing. This diamond ring doesn't shine for me anymore. This diamond ring doesn't mean what it did before. So if you've got someone whose love is true, let it shine for you. If stone is genuine, my clothes should be. And if your baby's truer than my baby was to me. This diamond ring can be something beautiful. And this diamond ring can be dreams that are coming true. And then your heart won't have to break like mine did. If there's love behind it. This diamond ring.